Welcome back to the Starting Five Podcast on SB Nation Greasy Bear Blues. I am the one underscore P Shark. Apparently, hopefully I'm back on Twitter with the guys.
What's going on, y'all? I'm at underscore Scott Lita on Twitter. What's going on?
Memphis. Okay, I ain't banned. Okay, what's good, everybody? This just got real, man. What's good, everybody?
Yeah, so I'm new to this debacle, but if you don't use your head, you're going to lose your head, man. It's really true.
What's going on, y'all? Your man, Tab Shakir, Twitter jail for something I really didn't do. You know, the tank of peeing continues, but, you know, apparently if you say Memphis on Twitter, anybody listening, don't go typing it out now because you won't be able to get on Twitter for the next 12 hours. Yeah.
Just keep getting worse. Tigers, Grizzlies, Twitter. Man, come on. Give us a break. Please.
Let the city go catch a break, man. It's crazy.
But anyway, this is episode number 25 for us in the starting five. So reach the milestone.
Getting on up there. Let's go.
Can't even celebrate it right, man. We can't even be on Twitter to celebrate.
Lazy, man. Listen, take that jump to MySpace is what they said.
Not MySpace.
No. With the top eight friends, I beg your pardon. I occupy one spot, so you only had really seven friends. I beg your pardon.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Man,
I was cool with everybody.
But to get it started, before we talk about the Grizzlies week, I just wanted to give an update for those who want to see on Twitter. So on Twitter this week, Triple J still hasn't played, and the Grizzlies finally came out with somewhat of an update. They will reevaluate him at the end of this month or beginning of April. So now it's time I got pushed back again for another month. So y'all want to speak a little bit on there? Y'all just want to move forward with the week review?
I would like for us and everybody else that's a part of Grizz Nation to move forward.
I've said it once. I'll keep it short. I said it once and I say it again. We're not going to see Jaren this season. So just get ready for it. We're not going to see him this season.
I think this is the time that y'all should actually like give yourselves like a good pat on the back. Y'all been saying since pretty much the jump of the season, like, Jaren not coming, they keep pushing it back, and apparently it's going to get to a point where, like y'all been saying, we ain't going to see him all season, and that's what it's looking like.
Yep.
I guess I'll say, survey says next season, so.
Well, let's go and get started. We got with our weekly review, minus Mr. Triple J himself. First, we beat the Wizards again, wipe the floor with them again. Yep, y'all are. We get cheated, or apparently cheated, or some Memphis say we got cheated against the Denver Nuggets and gained another game that comes down to a wire against another good team that we lose in the end by 1 point. And we decide to take a break, look at the Thunder starting five and say, hey, we don't know these dudes, we're gonna take them easy and proceed to lose to a bunch of no names on the Thunder, as I like to call them. But well, y'all thoughts 1-2 for the week, as most of y'all predicted. What?
Disappointing week. Very, very disappointing week. I think last week as we made predictions, some of us were leaning 3-0. A lot of us, a couple of us said 2-1. So to come out of this week with a 1-2 record, with really two games that you really should have had, two losses that you really, in my opinion, you should have had, and you walked away with losses on both of those. I think it's a little disappointing. It definitely leaves like some form of like a sour taste in your mouth. For me, I wasn't too really concerned about the loss in Denver. I kind of expected that loss. I was really more so pleased to see that they stayed in the game and really competed with the Nuggets. For me, is what I was looking for. But the Oklahoma City game, you should not have lost. Period. It just really, I think it's the thing where you kind of read the same book over and over and you kind of know what to expect as you read the book. The Grizzlies struggled coming down the stretch, period. I don't remember the last time coming down the stretch, it's a back and forth game. It's a 1-2 possession game with 5 minutes left, and the Grizzlies kind of actually come out and win the game. I mean, I'm pretty sure they've done it recently, but nothing comes to mind off the rip. So that's my issue with the Grizzlies, is being able to close games with 5 minutes left to play.
Yeah, you would probably say that they're devoid of a closer, like somebody that is supposed to like just take the ball and say, here, go shut the door, take us home. Like, you expect it to be Ja, but for some reason, more often than not, that's not always the case. Well, for me, I actually have them at 2-1 as well. A little disappointing that they came out this 1-2. The Wizards game, I'm not going to talk too much on, but that was a game that they definitely took, but I felt they should have won that longer. It took longer. Basically, what I'm trying to say is they let Washington back in the game a little sooner than I expected. Because they were up, if I'm not mistaken, they were up double digits for most of the second quarter going into the third, and then that's when Washington started to claw their way back, and then Memphis eventually got it back up to 15, and that's where they got the W. Denver game, I expected them to actually get that game. I actually picked them to actually win that game. That's because this was their first game after the All-Star break. And yeah, they had won 4 straight on the road, but of course they were due for a trap game, and I felt that this was the trap game for them. They've done a great job as far as weathering the storm, if you will, of Jokic. He had like 28 and 15, but you were still in position to win the game. Jamal Murray struggled for primarily the entire game. We'll get to start a week once we get there. Of course, you got 20 from MPJ. You got 20 from Will Barton as well, which also helped do us in as well. Then the last play, questionable or not, you don't never want to leave anything to the refs. So as Skylar mentioned, we struggle down the stretch as far as closing games and things of that nature. The Thunder game is just definitely a game you just cannot take that loss in any shape or form. I don't care who's on the court. They're an NBA team. So if they're wearing an NBA jersey, you have to take them serious. I don't care who it is. And to be honest, I kind of smelt trouble once SGA had got going in the second quarter. He came out in that second quarter, hit Memphis with a quick 9. Yeah, Memphis had managed to kind of weather that a little bit and get it going, and I think they got up by double digits at some point. But just slowly but surely, I'm like, okay, SGA has it going. He hit Memphis with a quick 9. If he's rolling like this, they could potentially win this game, and that's exactly what ended up happening for them. So very disappointing for 1-2 week, but hey, march along.
Yeah, I might have been the guy, the only guy to call it 1-2 for this past week, and I hate that I was right. I always want to be actually betting against myself when I give these odds. But maybe I'll choose more better the next time. I'll go in reverse order. I'll talk about the Thunder, then work my way back. The Thunder game is one of the most disappointing losses for the Memphis Grizzlies that I've seen, at least this season. It's not only the caliber of talent that was across the floor, but it's like you just came from a nail-biting loss to the Nuggets. You have more than what it takes to beat this team of the Thunder, and to let them really, I mean, any loss to the Thunder, 6 points is going to seem like it's 60 points, because besides SGA, can no one here even tell me another starter or two on that team, let alone their sixth man, let alone, you know, who they're playing
with. The head coach.
Right. So, like, this that hurt. That loss hurt. There's no way around that. And I know we'll talk about, you know, next games moving forward, but that hurt. Back to the previous point of the Nuggets game and the closing out. I've always specified the first 4 and the last 4 minutes of quarters and halves are extremely important. That middle 4, you can come and go. But how do you start off the quarter and how do you end the quarter? And to Trevor's point, leaving something to the officials is the last thing you want to do. You also don't want to, you know, take a shot as well. So I like the move right, to go towards the cup and try to get the foul call. That's literally, that's basketball, right? You're going to the cup, you're going to the rim, either you're going to make the shot or try to get the foul. That's what Ja was trying to get. Whether or not the foul was called or not, neither here nor there. We all know it was not called. And of course, it feels like 9-on-1 was cheated. However, again, if you would have closed out better in the last 4 minutes, we don't have to leave the game open for interpretation with the refs. And leading back to the first game that we had after the All-Star break, very, very excited to see that win, a blowout win. To Trevor's point, yeah, Washington did make a comeback. I mean, all teams are going to make some type of it's a game of runs. So somewhere they're going to make a game of runs. If not, they need to be in the D League or somewhere else. And so it was expected, but I love the blowout win there for us. I wish we could have seen 2-on-1. It was capable of happening. However, you can't lose games like that to the Thunder. And then you can't leave it in the interpretation for the refs with the last 5 seconds on the game.
Yeah, I pretty much hit everything on the head, you know, with the Wizards game. JV pretty much had his hand in the game pretty much the whole time with a 20-20. So salute to him with that. Like I said, I know he's going to keep that going. As far as the Nuggets game go, Trev, you hit it on. Like, you got it's all about energy and effort, really, at this point. Like, especially when you're not hitting shots, you got to play some defense. You got to be able to stop, the hot man. You know, you stop Jokic, cool, but, you know, you got to be able to get the other people, which, you know, it's still like the other people are the ones that take the Grizz down each and every game. The foul at the end of the game, of course, it was a foul. Like, anybody that said it won a foul, you can look and watch Jokic literally lean his right arm into Ja. I mean, it is what it is at this point. It's an L, you know, and, you know, for us to – you know, we say we're looking for a closer, right? And I think Ja is on his way to becoming that. Like, we did see the aggression. Like, if Ja didn't shoot the ball, then we were talking about how we didn't get him the ball at the end of the game, right? So I think, you know, it's two ways we can see it, of course. Like, I'm with you all. It should have been a foul call, but at the end of the day, it's not just Ja keep getting aggressive, keep it going. But I think this L against OKC is kind of unacceptable, especially since we had a big lead going into the fourth. Like, honestly, I was like, okay, we're about to get the recording done. We got a nice lead. I can take a little nice little nap, you know, wake up and see us losing. You know what I'm saying? You know, Shea put up 30 against us. We have Pokemon put up 20 and 10 up on us. Like, it's always the other people that's getting in the Grizz way of a win. So, I guess once whoever can step up for us to stop the other hot man going on, that can get us in some wins. But until then, you know, shout out to Pokemon.
Trevor, what's his name again? His real name? This nickname he just gave Pokemon to?
I know, right? Pokemon, hold on. I got to actually look at his name so I can get the pronunciation right. It's Pokuševski. I heard it so much during the game. That's how I was able to get the right pronunciation. That's how effective he was against the Grizzlies. I heard his name so much. I was like, okay, it's ringing in my head. I can actually get the pronunciation right if it came to it when we recorded. So.
At some point, we got to identify the hot man outside of the star player. It's always a hot man whenever the Grizz go against somebody, you know. And like I said, I ain't going to keep calling Pokemon, but Pokuševski, like, when 5 for 8 for 3, 10 rebounds, it's like, you got to be able to stop the hot man. Like, if I see somebody hitting 2-3 three-pointers, okay, don't let them shoot again, you know, and just a random my player then got 20 and 10 on us real quick. So it is what it is.
The Thunder only played 9 players. Now, the 9 players that played, 7 of them were in double figures.
Got to catch them all, man. Got to catch them all. Well, the Grizzlies showed their age again. Young teams, this is what they normally do. Unfortunately, well, veteran teams do this too, but a LeBron-led team could take a team lightly and turn it up in the fourth quarter and win. The Grizzlies is a young team. Unfortunately, you're not good enough to do that yet, right? That's what they showed against Thunder, unfortunately. And they showed the true colors becoming, going back one game under 500. Like I said, I think they're going to stay around 500. Win one, lose one. It seems like they've been doing that, or lose two. Maybe win two They don't never go farther than two games since their whole seven-game win streak, four-game losing streak ordeal from back in January or February. But unfortunately, that's what happens to y'all teams. Back to the Denver game. The last call, honestly, yo, I could see that not being a foul. My first thought was thinking it was a foul. When I saw the replay, I thought it might not have been a foul.
If it's
anybody else, if it's like LeBron or somebody, they possibly get that call. But I'm Sharky always says it all the time. Like, yeah, you don't want to be in the game to the refs in that situation.
Right.
But let me hop in real quick. I think that the issue for me with that call is if you go back and look at the replay.
Yeah, I was about to go there.
Okay. Blows his whistle when Ja's in the air, but doesn't call the foul. I think it was on Jokic. That's the problem. If you don't call the foul, I'm actually kind of okay with the no call. Most players like LeBron, KD, that's why they get those calls, because they're LeBron and KD. And no offense to Ja, but it's Ja, right? But it's the fact that he puts his hand in the air, blows the whistle when Ja goes to the basket, but doesn't call the foul. Him calls the foul on somebody else, which happens a couple seconds later. That's the issue.
Yep, man. I was literally going there because he called me on Dylan Brooks before Dylan Brooks was fouled. He raised his hand up when Ja went up in there. Then he kept his hand up and then really blew the whistle or called a foul. I think he already blew the whistle when Dylan Brooks fouled, and then Dylan Brooks ain't even touched him yet. So that was the whole problem with that to me. But it goes back to Took's point. It was, watch the high hand. Dylan shut down Jamal Murray, but who went off? None other than Will Barton.
Will Barton.
Yep. Clean off on it. So it's always been recognized that high hand. And like, you can't, yeah, it's cool to shut down a star player, but it's always their random player, like Pokemon is what I'm calling him because I can't pronounce the name. go back to like Trevor and Skyler's point about the down the stretch struggles. Half court basketball, the Grizzlies are a fast break team. And when the game slows down, that's when they struggle. It's been time and time again. Mm-hmm. That literally is what happens down the stretch. So they need to, like I said, young teams, they're a speedy bunch, but they need to learn how to play half court ball. I don't know that. I'm not even about to mention Triple J. I don't know if that gets better with him, but hey, that we want to know to next year, apparently, right? outside of that, took care of Washington. So 1-2 week is better than 0-3. I take it. This point, I lost to OKC, but young teams, we had this point loss to Cleveland early in the season, and that's what they do. They get a surprising win somewhere down the line. So, I mean, I know, unfortunately, ain't nothing you can do about that. Just move on, learn your lessons. But, honestly, I don't even like giving a player of the week, Grizz of the week, player of the week.
You don't want to lose a record.
Right. So,
that's, I mean, we got to highlight somebody who's played well despite.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Let's do a participation trophy this week.
The what?
The Grizz participation of the week.
Okay.
I mean, they do it on TV. They give a player the game to a Grizz player. What's going on? So
that's right. We got it. Yes, sir. We got it. Ball out. All right. Give me. I don't know how, because I was in the other game today. I don't know how Dylan Brooks fared on defense today, but he shut down Brad DeBeal and Jamal Murray, so that's my player of the week this week. He literally locked him up. I don't care what he did in the offense, as I still see complaining on Twitter. He only took like 10 shots against Washington. Last two games, he went off and took 20 and I think 18 today. But defense, he's there. He's going to always get L for energy. Give me Dylan Brooks.
Literally took the exact words out of my mouth. Grizz star of the week for me is Dylan Brooks. He may not be consistent on offense. He may give you three or four plays. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Which makes you not a fan of him. But Jesus Christ, the defensive performance that he's put on over the past week or two, and especially what he's done against Bradley Beal the past two games, has been a thing to watch. I think if you're a coach and you want to teach defense, Sheedy, you put on that tape of Dylan Brooks. He's locked down Dylan Brooks. He's locked down Jamal Murray. And like I said, he ain't giving you the offensive numbers that you may be looking for, but he's definitely giving you really great defense. And in my opinion, is a huge reason to why some of these games can either be blowout for the other team or the Grizzlies are right there in it, and it's because of his defense.
Oh man, I appreciate y'all with all this Dylan Brooks love. Maybe I had to try to convince y'all to get a stock in, at least a grain of sand on Dylan Brooks Island, man. Hey, it's open. We still, but I'm actually gonna go a different route since you guys went with Dylan Brooks. My career starter week is actually gonna be Brandon Clark, who this week not much in the scoring category, except for the game, if I'm not mistaken, against Denver, in which he had 20. But just his presence on the floor and being able to be effective on both ends of the floor. Thinking the Washington game, didn't really score much, but he had 10 rebounds. The game we just got through watching with Oklahoma City, 10.6 rebounds, a couple of blocks. Just him being active on the defensive end and then looking – picking his spots on when he can attack and get his shot off. And, of course, that's usually money when he gets in the lane and he's shooting the floater. His gun is almost as money as Tyus Jones. So for my grid start of the week, I'm going with BC.
I'm all for the Dylan Brooks stock for what he's done defensively. Like I said, you guys talked about shutting down Bradley Beal, an all-star. Jamal Murray, who becomes an all-bubble, all-playoff all-star. When it's time. But my Grizz of the week, actually, I'm going to give it to Ja. And the reason why I give it to Ja is he wasn't afraid to take that shot and to go up against quite possibly a MVP candidate in the Joker to win the game. He didn't get the call like he wanted to. Okay. Still averaged over 23 points, I believe. In these last three games, and somewhere around about 7 to 8 assists per game as an average. So I'm going to give it to Ja. He realized he wasn't an all-star. He's making some more adjustments. To me, becoming an all-star means you close out the fourth quarter better. When he's getting there, at least he's trying. The ball was in his hands, as we've seen in before in the past, where there's been like 3 or 4 games or some multiple games in a row where he was non-existent. At least he's making some type of presence. So give me Ja for this week.
I'm going to just speak for myself. I don't know if the same applies to y'all, but if I'm showing my kid any type of defensive player, I'm not showing him Dylan Brooks. That's neither here or there. Y'all can debate at another time. But my MVP, man, helped out the Grizzly Bear Blues with their article about the first half of the season. And I said that this man was Mr. Consistency. Like, I've been calling him that all season. And, you know, he came back. I guess he read the article. He put up 29-20 against the Wizards, you know, and been, you know, double-double for the last 2-3 games anyway. So, Mr. Jonas Valanciunas, please give me JV, Mr. Double-double himself for the start of the week.
Salute. I was actually choosing between JV and Dylan for my ass, and I ended up choosing Dylan. So, great picks. Brandon Clark, that Denver game, he came out roaring in that game. So, yeah, that's great picks. Ja, like you said, he's actually looked like an all-star now since he tweeted out Daniel. He's looked like one since that tweet. So, salute to him for taking that motivation. He just needs you to actually stay like that. In order for you to become a superstar, you got to take that next step to being consistent with that, not just have to, you know, see some tweets to get you motivated. Skyler.
And I don't want to say this, but the Milwaukee game right before the All-Star game and that Denver game this week, Ja has had two really crucial turnovers that has cost them their game. The one against Milwaukee was like, I think he got stripped by Drew Holiday, I think. And I can't remember who he got stripped by in the Denver game. My personal opinion, and it's hindsight 2020, but if he doesn't have those two turnovers, they win the Milwaukee game and then win the Denver game.
Yep. And those are the other plays before the last play that affected the outcome.
Yep. Exactly.
All right. So next topic before we get to our weekly prediction. All right. It's March the 14th as we record. It'll be March the 15th when this episode comes out. It was March the 11th of last year when Rudy Gobert tested positive for COVID-19. And the world as we know it was different since then. Not only the NBA, sports, our own personal lives with work and everything completely. So really just with this, I'm going to just go into, you know, we're taking the vaccine. Everybody's getting the vaccines and everything in this moment. Joe Biden said His goal is to get them all out by May the 1st, right? So NBA players have been kind of silent on it, taking it. They're not forcing them to have to take in everything. So I just have a simple question. Do you think a player should wait to take the vaccine to have the season, or do you think they should go ahead and get them? And only reason I ask this question is because everybody reacts differently to the vaccine, right? And who knows if your team takes it, then they don't have a good reaction to it, and all those kind of things. So it's just, do you think players should wait to take it, or should they go ahead and get vaccinated as soon as possible?
Coming from somebody who recently got vaccinated, well, I got my first shot of the vaccine, and knowing at least almost 10 people that's gotten at least their first shot, I say get it. I haven't had any issues, of course, other than a sore arm, but I haven't come across anybody that's gotten the first shot and they've had some form of symptoms or they've had some lingering issue after the shot. My suggestion is get the shot, to each its own. But I think as we move forward, as we try to have some hope of the world opening up, get the shot. That's me.
I'm with you on there. My only question is how frequent, and will the doses be between the first and second as far as if the players were to get vaccinated? If the only thing is a sore arm, as Lito just said, by all means, go and get it. I know I've heard the side effects have included symptoms that may suggest COVID, so that could possibly be an issue if someone was to take the vaccine and show symptoms of that. And then just from contact tracing, another player ends up contracting the virus. So I can understand the hesitation there. But I have to agree with Scott Lito here. If the only thing is you're going to have is a sore arm, you're probably going to miss a week. If you can get it, go ahead and get it.
To answer your question, Trevor, you have to wait 3 weeks in between the two shots.
Yeah, depending on what you got. It's Pfizer's 3 weeks, another one maybe 4 weeks or something like that. But regardless, to the other part, to each its own, no one quite knows. Like, after that second dose is what I've really heard is the worst. It's not the first initial shot. It's the second shot. And so knowing what that is like. But also, when I think about it, as we all should think about it, something happens in the NBA and all of these other sports markets where, like, there's this updated or upgraded type technology or health, right? So, like, for instance, KD was told when he had COVID-19 right there on the spot, whereas we normal humans got to wait a day or two, right, to figure out, do I really have COVID? Okay, well, I'll just quarantine for 2 days until I get my results back. So I think there's a little bit something special for them to get that done. They may not have to wait through. They may be able to get this done in like two. But again, I also want to see what it's like for people that get that second shot. That's, again, where the more of the COVID-related symptoms that you talked about, Shark, along with just feeling uneasy after that second shot. First shot was great, but what is the second shot like? And if that means you have to be out for a couple of days, but also it could also mean you're around your family more often, right? So you have to just choose what is best for you and what you want to do. If your career is so important that you can't take a few days off, then I think you need to reevaluate your career. And that's for all NBA players. Y'all are making millions of dollars. You can't take a couple of days off, a couple of games off for the health and wellness of you and your family. You might not be in the right sport. So anyways, that's how I feel about it. Again, to each his own, but just go and take the shot and take a couple of days off. We all got sick pay. Y'all probably have plenty of PTO, plenty.
So if y'all talk to me personally, y'all know my honest thoughts about COVID and, you know, this whole pandemic or whatnot. So I don't want, you know, my thoughts. I'm not going to share my thoughts on this platform because I don't want my thoughts to be considered, you know, inconsiderate and insensitive because people have lost loved ones to COVID. But I will say that I don't want the NBA to force this vaccination on players. And I just simply, you know what I'm saying, leave it at that. Like I say, y'all know personally how I feel about it. But if the NBA was to mandate the vaccine, that's when I have a problem. And I think that's when y'all see, you know, a whole different answer from me on this topic.
Respect, definitely respect it. I think my answer is kind of the same as a little bit of all y'all's answers. I do agree with the NBA. They're not forcing them so far, and I don't think they should, because, and it goes back to Cheese's point, I think it's to each his own. It's your personal decision. I know it's coming around to the crunch time of the season with the playoffs on the line and stuff, so players probably not going to be willing to take their risks, to Cheese's point, unless you're on a bad team that's not making it right. So, to each his own, and to Scotland and Trevor's point, I haven't taken it myself yet, but I do think, like, sooner you take it, man, sooner we can get to normal, right? And the season doesn't officially end until like July. So that's a long time. Just be like, and that's, and of course, that's just the last two teams remaining. So all the other teams, maybe their season end, they get it. So to like go back to really Cheetah's point, my answer is true to what his answer was, to each his own. But it's just their choice. And only reason I even just asked this question was because of the time. So the vaccine around, and I wanted to relate it more to the NBA for this podcast discussion today. So.
No, it was a good one, bro. Like, really, COVID really took over the mind of people once the NBA shut down. You know, I remember working at Oasis that night when the Mavericks were playing and watching the fans go back home. I'm like, yo, it's getting serious out here, I guess. And then that's when everything started. We say Rudy Gobert, quote-unquote, unofficially started COVID. You know, so the NBA really had its imprint on, you know, the American COVID. So it's a good topic.
Yeah, and we was at that last game together when the Grizzlies played the Magic, I think the night before, or two nights before. And I remember the whole talk was like, that might be the last game fans could come to. Then it turned phone 2 days later. So, yeah, it was very hard times, but slow to come up out of it. So, last topic, weekly prediction. The Grizzlies play the Suns. The recording comes out Monday, so on the night of this recording, at Phoenix, then they play the Heat, and they play the Warriors back to back Friday and Saturday. Which I finally go to my first Chris game, and since the Orlando game, I go Friday. Fiance is a huge Steph fan, so take her to go see him. So, what's the record for this week?
I'm going to cover my eyes as I say this. 2-2. Don't ask me what two games they win. Don't ask me what two games they lose. I have no idea. I'm really trying to be optimistic. 2-2. Don't ask me any questions. Thank you.
I really hope I'm wrong here.
Right.
I'm going 1-3.
That sounds difficult.
And I think the one, I don't even know which one is going to be the one. I know for sure it won't be. It won't be tomorrow. Phoenix is playing tomorrow. Phoenix has played lights out lately. They're not beating Phoenix tomorrow. Miami, I think last time I checked, Miami has won, I think, 9 of their last 10, 10 of their last 11. I can't see that one either. So this home and home against the Warriors is the only way I could possibly see a win. And they could possibly lose both of those too. So I'm going 1-3.
Well, listen, let's go and get some of that stock of Dylan Brooks for those back-to-back games. Got you. Lord Jesus.
Give it to me.
They for sure aren't going to bounce back after that SGA and Friends production.
and Friends.
And so, yeah, I agree. CP3 and Booker got them, that Suns, and Monty Williams got them at a different level right now that the Grizzlies aren't ready for. That's a win. Miami Heat, that's a win for the Heat. A win for the Suns, and they got to take at least one of these from the Warriors. And if Dylan Brooks ain't locking up Steph Curry from the moment he arrives at FedEx Forum to the moment he leaves and his hotel where he's peeing at, all of that, then it's going to be an 0-4 week. So I'm going to be gracious and give us 1-3 this week. Of course, I hope I'm wrong. As always, I hope I'm wrong, Sheedy, but I see 1-3 and it could get uglier to 0-4.
Quick.
Guess I gotta be the real one here, guys. No, in all seriousness, I'm actually 9 times out of 10 gonna be at that Phoenix game. So I'm not sure if I'll be, you know, the motivation for a team like a Spike Lee would to a Knicks. or if I be like, you know, or somebody small, you know what I'm saying? Like Drake to the Raptors or something, like somebody that I don't like, but I will be definitely annoying. And I think that my presence will give the Grizz the energy and the effort and the beautiful face in the crowd for them to get this win. So I'm gonna go win there. I know Devin Booker and Chris Paul is limb balling. Trust me, I know. But I think my presence will bless them with the energy to win. The other games, the Heat, hey, man. You're talking about energy and effort. The Heat and the Warriors are two teams that definitely play with the energy and effort. I don't see us being the Heat, and I don't see us being the Warriors either time. So give us 1-3. Only because my presence is going to allow us to beat the Suns.
The only way that I see a possible 2-2, again, without Dylan Moussa guard Steph Curry from the time he laces up his shoes to the time he is butt naked, but a possible 2-2, a possible 2-2 would be a Justice Winslow revenge game. That's all I can see happening against Miami. Somehow, some way, he goes off and scores 30 and I don't know, 30 and 11. It's not really up for him. It's not really up for debate. I'm sure there's plenty of people that can guard Justice Winslow for the Heat.
That man said 38. I would love to see that one.
No, 30 just and 8.
30
and 8. 30
points, 8 rebounds.
I would still love to see the 30 and 8.
I hear you. He didn't do it in Miami.
I'm with you.
He may give you 38 right? minutes.
All I got to say is, like, I think it'll be a close game, but I think it definitely would have been a blowaway as far as the Heat game goes. My limbs would have played. So I just want to throw that out there.
He might get 38 combined points, rebounds, and assists and minutes. shout out to Justice, man. He's been playing some good defense, though. Man, give me – I said the Grizzlies are 500 team. That's 4 games, 2-2. They can beat the Warriors 1-2 times, back-to-back nights. Steph, who else? Y'all name Steph. Name me another Warriors player.
Draymond.
Kelly Oubre Jr., how dare you?
James Wiseman, okay. Who's back in the lineup. Steve Kerr needs to give him minutes now.
Green, Kevon Looney.
Yeah, give me the Grizzlies in one of those games. Give me the Grizzlies in one of those games.
Like, that's really – when you really look at it from the standing standpoint, I think we all have the Grizzlies at least with 2 losses, and they're 2 games out from being out of the playoffs. Like, OKC is on their tail. New Orleans is on their tail. Like, they're both, like, 2 and 2.5 games back for that last spot for the play-in. So, all of us have them at least 2 losses. Like, this could be very bad if there are playoff implications for the Grizzlies.
Trust me, OKC in that lineup, they may have beat the Grizzlies. They not beat the many teams for that lineup.
Yeah.
New Orleans don't do well against anybody outside of Memphis. So Memphis might be probably okay. For the time being.
Just saying.
Hey man, first off, don't disrespect Casino Anderson like that. Second of all, they beating the Jazz right now, who are the number one team in the league at halftime. So
they come out like a 4-game losing streak as well. So give me the Grizzlies in one of those 2 games.
All right.
And the other one, give me 1-2. They're going to win 1-2. I ain't about to say which one. They're going to win 1-2 against Miami or Phoenix. 1-2. I'm not about to predict. 2-2.
Don't say Miami then since you bad.
Y'all go and beat Miami. Sure. 2-2. 2-2.
Thank you, Sharky.
You be 2-2. All right, another fun episode. And remember, follow me. I should be back on Twitter by this time. Remember to follow me or P Shark.
Oh, sorry, yeah, I'm adding the Scott Scalito. I'm smelling candy yams right now, so excuse me.
What's up, man? You hungry, ain't it? Anyway, I'm at the Otter Trevor. Hopefully, I'm back on Twitter, and if I am, I'm gonna tweet Memphis again. So, and if I get kicked off this time, I'm
feeling like an idiot. So, it's like coming out of jail and doing dumb stuff to get right back locked up. What kind of sense that makes, brother?
Hey, no, I'm appealing because you can't appeal being suspended. So, hey, yeah. Once I'm off tomorrow, I'm tweeting Memphis again. And if I'm suspended, I'm appealing it. So, hey, I will be all right if I'm not on Twitter. It's cool. And plus, I can tweet watch from the starting five and let's be real account. So we good.
And y'all can also use my Twitter account because I clearly don't be tweeting enough. But it's really shitty. I guess I want to tweet Memphis now, but I actually don't want to lose my account because I don't remember my password. So it's really shitty whenever you do.
Self care, man. I would say follow me on Twitter, but I can't tweet now for the next 11 hours now. So
you'll be on by the time.
I'm sure we got a lot of young listeners. Don't be an idiot like Trevor. If you go to jail, don't do the same thing that you went to jail for, your kids. Okay.
I mean, yes, in that aspect, but in this aspect, I actually have a case. So, yes, just for the sake of it, that's going to be my very first tweet once I'm able to get back.
You might go hire a Twitter lawyer, yeah.
God damn.
Oh, man. All right. Remember, follow us. The non-suspended account, the starting five, the number five.
You there, mean, you know,
there you go. There you go.
Us on there.
Don't
shout
out the rest.
I also could follow Grizzly Bear Blues, SBN Grizzlies. They are not suspended either. Although 3D account did get suspended as well. Shout out to
them. I was like, yo, this is getting out of hand.
Oh, man.
But you can listen to the other podcasts. 3D should be back on Twitter by the time the podcast come out on Tuesday, Core 4 on Wednesday, and GBB Live on Thursday. But next time, folks. Agree.
Agree.